mean, that's like, it's, I don't have time to be excited about anything other than the fact that I have 2 days off in a row. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we have geeky boners. Our dicks are hard for all sorts of things. Harry Potter and Wheel of Time and Disney World.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hiya.
And Tim Wick.
No longer huzzah.
No longer huzzah. Fuck that.
Fuck the huzzahs.
We are back in the basement studio, and it is time to go back to regular life. Feels
Phew.
Good.
Yay.
Feels good.
Phew.
Anti-huzzah. Huzzah backwards is hazur.
it's a grind. It's seven weeks.
It is.
Where you don't get a day off.
No.
Unless you choose to take a day off.
I take 2 days off. I take the day after Labor Day, and I take the day after final day.
Yep.
And otherwise, I work 65 to 70 hour weeks.
Yeah.
I kept doing stupid things like saying I'd work shifts on Monday.
Yeah, you did. That was dumb.
Other dumb things that like I could have optionally been smart about.
But because Renaissance Festival is over, we have been able to focus our minds and our pursuits and hobbies back on the geeky wonderfulness of regular life.
Super geeky wonderfulness.
Ergo. Moreover, therefore, it is time for a geeky boners episode.
Oh, so.
Boing. Boing. Boy, this is my... That's my boner hitting my glass codpiece.
Wow,
that's what that was. I'm
it's
good
the
at...
heavy leaden piercing in the tip.
Yep, that was my... I'm fully artistry. Let's start out with Tim.
Hey.
Tim, what's got you throbbing and tumescent?
Well, this is kind of a, it's a lengthy boner, very, very long boner.
Nice, long boner.
It's looking forward. Me and Pat and I and three friends from festival are actually planning on a trip to Disney in January.
Ooh.
It was ridiculous because we do this dinner club thing once a month where we get together and we have dinner. You guys are invited and
we've always tried to go, but it never works.
Occasionally make it.
But
anyway, so we as a joke said, hey, let's do a destination dinner where we go to Disney World for one day and we eat at Le Cellier,
Hold on.
So we go and we eat at Le Cellier, which is the steak restaurant in Epcot.
Okay.
And we're like, that's the one
in France, right?
That's in Canada.
Okay.
You can say French stuff in Canada too.
Yeah, we saw it and we were like, oh my, ooh, woo, woo, woo. We were all wet, so we decided to go somewhere else.
It was boring.
So anyway, and what has happened, as often happens in these situations, is scope creep. And we're now going for 6 days. And we have dinner plans for everything we're there. And the reason I'm bringing this up, I'm sure I will talk about it more later, but what's happened is the people that we're going with, Adam and Tears of Trees are two of them, and Adam Adam listens to the show.
Hi,
Adam. So Tirza and Adam introduced a member of my band to a game called Disney Emoji Blitz, which is a game that I'm totally addicted to right now.
Yeah, I see you play it a lot.
Yeah.
It is. And it's like a Bejeweled kind of game.
Yeah.
Candy Crush. Except it's a freemium game, but you don't have to pay anything. And you can.
And I'm guessing, based on the name, that what you are matching and crushing are
Disney-based
emojis.
They're Disney characters.
Are they emoting in different ways, too?
Yes, they get super happy when you match them.
Ah.
And then if you match enough of them, they each have special powers. One of them is Kermit the Frog, and I have not earned Kermit yet. And I'm upset about that. Because you can buy, you can't. You can't buy them. You can only unlock them.
So I'm assuming like matches like.
Yes.
Which is very, very in line with Walt Disney's ideas.
You can't buy them. You can unlock them. Which means what you're buying from them are chances.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
It's a gambling game. Right. Okay.
But you can earn all the resources you need to do shit.
Sure.
If you're patient.
Right.
And I, with freemium games, have always been patient. If I play a freemium game for like more than a month,
mm-hmm.
I'll usually, when they have a sale on something, I'll throw money at them just to say, you know what, I've gotten enough entertainment out of this to throw
you. Call that Scottish patience.
Don't even.
It's waiting because you're cheap. Yeah. Not because you're patient. Yeah.
But you're preaching to the choir, as it were, as we have spent money on Pokemon Go. So.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, but I think most people, it's like, I mean, I'm sure there are people that play freemium games that are like, fuck it, I'm never going to spend a dime.
Yeah.
But I usually, it's like, if I get a month of entertainment out of it, then it's worth it for me.
Quick sidebar. My mom still watches Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which you might remember me talking about years ago.
Yes, I remember that. That was a boner.
Yes, my mom still watches it. The 8-year-old daughter of one of the housewives had something like $20,000 phone bill because that's how much money she spent on one of her little freemium games.
Oh my God.
Spending like hundreds of dollars a day buying coins or buying whatever the fuck it was. That was the consumable item. Yeah. And the mom was just like, oh, Portia. You know, like, it's, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You named her Portia.
Oh, I mean, I know,
my
right?
God, what was going to happen?
Gross.
So anyway, the good thing is it's you get like 5 lives that you can play.
Sure.
And then you have to wait for it to recharge.
Yep. Just like Candy Crush.
Yeah.
But it only takes like 30 minutes for the 5 lives to recharge.
And as long as you keep winning.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend the life.
But no, it's you spend a life and you get a 1-minute round.
Oh,
it's a
1-minute
round, and it just it's all based on play a minute, get the score you get.
Interesting.
And then play again and try and it's got a lot of, you know, like achievements. You get certain achievements and you can level up and
what level are you?
I am currently level 20.
Okay, so it sounds like it takes a while to get. How long have you been playing it?
I started playing it in the middle of festival. I've probably been playing it about
It's not that long. Okay.
Not that long.
Okay.
Not that
interesting.
Long. But I've been, you know, I play, anyway.
Who else in the band plays? I need to know.
Well, Rachel does. She's
Rachel.
She's the one that turned me on to it.
Right.
So
she's
like, hey, Tim, have you played this game yet?
Is she the one coming to the Disney thing?
No, she's not coming. Rachel's
so it's Adam and Tirza,
Adam
you
and Tirza,
Pat.
Pat and I and Nan Miller.
Nan.
From the Corps.
Nice.
Who nobody on this podcast knows. But nobody
Lee
listening.
Walker Award winner.
Lee Walker Award winner. Yes.
I posted a picture of it to Adam. Like, it's not a surprise to him, but with the fest mustache he has, like the way he changed his facial hair, he looks just like Hedley Lamarr from Blazing Saddles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not just like, but like quite a bit like.
Well, and the great thing is, Nan and Pat and I are all Disney. We all love Disney, but Nan and Pat and I all have a lot of experience at Disney World.
Yeah.
Adam and Tirza love Disney World, and they have like 2 days of experience at Disney World.
That's us. I love Disney World too, but I've only ever gone. As an adult, I've only been to Disney World 2 days. One day with one boyfriend, one day with delicious husband. So like I have literally had 2 days of Disney World experience as an adult.
And you know,
I've had one day.
Yeah.
What was hilarious is we made the plan and we're flying out on a Thursday. We're flying back on a Tuesday. We all said, all right, we've got the plan. Everybody get their flights. Blah blah blah. We all booked ourselves on exactly the same flights. Independent of one another.
That's great.
So we're gonna get on the plane together. We're gonna spend 6 days in Disney.
That's
and
awesome.
Then go home together.
I hope
we can deal with each other for that long.
Originally for our 10-year anniversary, I was saying that we should go to Vegas because Nick's never been. But friend of the show, Andrea, is getting married in Vegas.
Yeah,
and we
is.
Are doing the ceremony. So we are getting to go to Vegas in January. So now I think for our 10-year anniversary, maybe we'll go to Disney World and do something. I don't know. We'll see. I would like to maybe Harry Potter Wizarding World or something fun.
Something.
Like, it'd be cool.
Awesome.
Some kind of destination.
I think that's enough of a boner for me. I hope.
That's a
long boner.
It's a boner with some foresight.
Yeah. Foresight boner.
Foresight boner.
Nick.
Yeah.
Let me see that boner.
So,
let me get a peek at that boner.
Let me do a fake out here. My boner could be Luke Cage. Because we are 12 episodes in. We have one episode left.
I haven't started it yet.
But it is not
Luke
Cage.
That's a big black boner. Oh, it's not a big black boner.
We'll talk about Luke Cage later. Another time. But my boner is... I've got this nerd blind spot that I'm filling right now. And that's that I've seen the movies, but I've never read the Harry Potter books. And I realized that, like, you know, like anything, book to movie, there's more in the books. There's going to be a better story in the books, usually, you know, almost always. And I realized...
Novel versus screenplay is always a whole...
Sure, right.
Yeah.
So, I've been getting all the Jim Dale audiobooks, which is... He's great. He's amazing. He's like your British grandfather who does voices when reading you a bedtime story.
Neat.
His Hagrid sounds like Hagrid. His Hermione sounds like Hermione. His Dolores Umbridge sounds like Dolores Umbridge.
Fucking Dolores Umbridge.
The Snozzberries taste just like Snozzberries.
And that's where I am right now, is I'm halfway through Order of the Phoenix.
Oh, I hate Dolores Umbridge more than any character in those books.
I'd forgotten how well written it is about what a fucking like cat's ass for a mouth she is. Like just this like tight puckered bitch.
Yeah, so I mean, the first book is so close to the movie.
It is.
And the further and further you go into the series, the more extra there is outside of the movies. And to the point where I if it continues in this trend, I completely understand why the final was broken up into two movies. The final book. It makes perfect sense if it's, I mean, this one, The Order of the Phoenix, is 27 hours. The book prior to it was like 21 or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and the first book is like 12 or 11. It's nothing. But they're great. I mean, I feel like I'm telling everyone, like, the Titanic just sank. Like, I have, like, the latest news ever. But, like, hey, everyone, the Harry Potter books are good, said man who got thawed out from 2004. But I'm having fun with them because I have so many friends that are really big Harry Potter nerds, and it's like their fandom, and they're super crazy about it and gung-ho about it, and now they get to like live vicariously through my first time enjoying them. So anytime I'm telling like Molly or telling a friend at work or something, like, hey, I'm at this book and this thing just happened, and the response I get is always like, oh my god, oh, so great.
I'm always like, what do you remember about this book? I want to know what you remember. He'll be like, I remember this and I remember that and I remember that this happens. I'm like, cool, because in my mind I'm like, oh, I remember a bunch of other stuff that he's gonna find out.
So it's been a fun journey that is weirdly, it's like a weird case of deja vu. Like, I probably haven't seen the majority of those movies since I first saw them in the theater.
Right.
Like, I don't think I've given the last three or four movies a rewatch. Mm-hmm. And so as I've been reading them, I've been going through like HBO and stuff. And anytime I see a Harry Potter movie on, I tell it to record it and save it so that I can go back and watch them as I finish.
Do you feel so? You saw the movies in the theater. I think we were dating. For at least a lot of them.
Two of them, I think.
A lot of them, because the thing is, the last book came out when I was living in Chicago.
Yeah.
So that would have been 2002 to 2005, and the movies started coming out after that.
And they were like every other year.
Yeah.
I think the movies started coming out before
the final book.
Yeah. Okay. Came out.
Yep. Because the first movie was like 99 or 2001 or something.
Really?
Like that, wasn't
okay.
it?
Okay.
And then it was like every other year for the next...
Probably 2000.
I was
going
to say, yeah, if only we had some sort of computer to look it up. While you look it up, let me tell you what I remember. I remember, because I remember reading the final Harry Potter book, and actually, maybe I'm remembering reading it in our apartment.
Yeah.
In Uptown. I usually read in the bathtub. So like when I remember reading a book, I'm often remembering it in the bathtub. I know I finished the final Dark Tower book in Chicago because I took the day off and read the book in 8 hours. When the Voldemort of boyfriends came back to the apartment, and I was sobbing because this like entire like my life, this whole chapter of my life was like, had finally had resolution and closure, and it was so satisfying. And like, and his response was like, oh, did you finish your dumb fucking book?
Oh.
And in my mind, I was like,
why didn't you marry him?
Oh, I know, right? And in my mind, I was like, we're done. Like, it will be a while, but we're done.
The first movie was 2001, and the last movie was 2011.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you and I would have seen everything after 2005 together for movies. So we probably saw most of those Harry Potter movies together.
Which is like Goblet of Fire was 2005.
All right,
so,
that's cool.
So everything after that we would have probably seen together.
Yeah, there's a reason why those books are so popular. They are super well written, and she came up with a really interesting world that was, you know, the same but different from worlds that we had already experienced in the fantasy writing, in the fantasy genre. And she has these characters that are just super well realized.
I will say, now I feel we'd be remiss in not addressing some controversy, because Neil Gaiman wrote a story called Books of Magic, and I believe there might have been a lawsuit, I'm not sure, but it was resolved as it doesn't matter or whatever. But he wrote a book about a boy with spectacles and an owl and magic and all this stuff that happened. And then, like, I don't think that she stole it by any means, but there is that kind of, like, weird, there was that weird controversy about all that early on, I remember, that he kind of was like, your idea is really close to this thing I published previously that, you know, was put out. But I don't remember the resolution of that.
I remember there was a lawsuit. I don't remember what happened, but the Gaiman's own words are that the superficial similarities are striking, but, you know, it kind of stops there.
Yeah.
He says that they were drinking from the same well. Mm-hmm.
Because he's a nice guy.
There's a story that came out in 2000 AD before Books of Magic, which was similar to Books of Magic.
2000 AD as opposed to 2000 BC.
2000 AD is the comic book series.
There was a story that came out in a comic
in 2000 AD.
Understand why I was like, why are we...
Yes, I mean, every story has kernels coming from other places. And but she did put it together in a way that was, I mean, clearly different. It caught on in a way those other stories didn't.
I think it's interesting that, I don't know how many people know this, that the reason it's J.K. Rowling is because she submitted her first manuscript under her initials so that no one would know she was a woman. Yeah. Because she was afraid, she wanted to be taken more seriously.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. There's a lot of writers, N.K. Jemisin, there's a lot of writers, female writers, are usually the ones who do it, by the way, who go by their initials rather than have any kind of bias, you know, or prejudice, either way, against them as someone reads their manuscript. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. What about you, Molly? What's your boner?
Oh my God, you guys, my dick is super hard and it's
and apparently made of glass.
It is. It's made of glass. See,
it's a dick of glass.
It's a dick of
glass. See with your ears.
Yes. See with your ears. Fuck you. What are you, Daredevil? See with your ears.
I just have synesthesia. Leave me alone.
My boner is, similar to yours, Nick, in that I'm also rereading a series. Oh. I'm rereading it, though. I'm rereading the Wheel of Time series.
For some reason.
You know what? I never finished it.
Neither did I.
Neither did the author.
I got through. Too soon. No, not too soon. He died. It's not that soon, and also I don't believe in that, clearly, from all the Jacob Wetterling jokes we made over the festival season. I think I read Winds of Winter, and that might have been the one where I was like, not Winds of Winter.
Heart of
Winter's Heart. Which, I think it was like book 10 or 11, one of those books where I was just like, I'm done, and like put it down. So
Winter's Heart is where I quit too. It's the ninth book, and 3/4 of the way through, I was like, oh my God, half this book has been, and they waited in the snow.
Yeah. So I decided, a guy I work with is really, he loves the books, and him talking about them here and there made me be like, you know, I haven't read those since I was in college. Honestly, that's when it was right after I graduated college that I gave up on the series. So I decided to go back to it, and I'm reading it, and I finished Eye of the World, and I'm on to The Great Hunt. And I am struck by, I wouldn't say they're bad. I am struck by how mediocre they are, because I remember them being so great. But I think I just hadn't read a lot of fantasy, and I hadn't read a lot of books. And maybe I'm spoiled by contemporary fantasy authors like Scott Lynch and Patrick Rothfuss. And as a result, reading some of this is like, man, I don't know how many times someone can, I mean, it's YA fiction.
Yeah.
is the main problem. Huh. It is YA. I mean, it's probably not built that way, but it is, because the protagonist, Rand Althor, is 17, and the bulk of his thoughts in these early books are about how he just can't figure out girls.
Yep.
Girls are so confusing.
Why is she so willful and angry? Yeah.
Burn me. Why can't I stop thinking about Egwene? Like, light, but I wish that I could get her to, you know, and so it's a lot of that. Fun fact, my Kindle version randomly has the word whatever capitalized.
Huh.
Which, when I looked on Google Books and then on other, like, my friend brought in his copy of a book, it's not in the regular book.
Interesting.
But in Kindle, whatever is always capitalized, like the way he is capitalized in the Bible when they talk about God.
It's whatever is clearly a deity.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's the God of apathy.
Yeah, whatever. But it makes
followed me whatever.
It's, I don't know. So it's,
I mean,
it's,
I don't know if you want to.
So yeah, I guess my right. boner is, my boner is, it's a half-hearted boner. It's, you know what it is? I've got the boner that, like, a guy who's really starting to realize he's not really into chicks at all. It, like, the boner he gets when his high school girlfriend is, like, really working it, and it's, like, it's, I mean, you're touching it, so it's getting a little there, but it's really not. This is nothing. This is doing nothing for me. So I don't know if I'm going to finish it or not.
I was going to ask, are you going to finish it?
I don't know. It's, they're $9 a piece on Kindle.
And you didn't finish it the first time.
And I read, so
how
I read
many books are there?
13.
13.
There's
13. So that's, I mean, we're looking at $130 of Kindle investment.
See, I remember Pat reading them, and you know, I don't read fiction so much anymore just because I don't sleep when I read fiction. And so, because I'll stay up until the book's done.
Right.
But so Pat was reading them, and she really liked them. But at some point, she just stopped because she's like, I'm not going to read anymore until he's done.
Yeah.
Because this is just going on forever.
Yep.
And I want to know that there's an end.
Yep. For me, it's more that... So what I said to Nick was, I almost said what I said to Beefcake because I'm so used to, I got to get out of that.
Yeah.
What I said was, you know, I'll go down to half price and see if I can pick up some fucking mass market paperbacks for, you know, a buck or two a piece. And if that's the case, because I read those first six books, I in college, I read them until the books fell apart. Like, I loved them. And then it was after that where I was like, oh, right. But I honestly, when I reread Dragonlance, I felt that magic again. I was like, oh, these are bad. But I can remember being 16 and being like, oh my God, I want to be Laura Lantalsa. Or like, oh, I want, you know, where's my tennis half elven, you know, kind of a thing. But when I'm reading them now, I'm like, oh my God, I get it. Like, yes, she's, Egwene is more powerful than even the Amyrlin seat. And this young girl who's the queen's daughter, she's just as powerful. But Nynaeve, she's, she'll be the bonfire that overshadows their candles. I'm like, I get it. Yeah. Everyone suddenly is so powerful. They're Ta-Varenne. The wheel weaves its pattern around them. I'm like, it's just, it's so heavy-handed that I don't know if I can finish.
The more you talk about it, the more I don't.
I know. So my boner is sputtering out, and but it's post-festival. I haven't had the time to get hard for anything else yet.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start playing Fallout 4, and I expect that next time we're doing boners, I will be super hard for the Wasteland.
All right. That's like a preview boner.
Yeah.
A boner.
A little pre-cum.
That's a little dirty talk.
Little pre-cum for you guys. Yeah. Little.
Thanks.
Yeah, that can still get you pregnant. P.S. So watch out.
It's truth.
Hey, Molly, do we have 5 questions? Why, yes, Molly, we do. We do have 5 questions. If I can unlock my phone, since my Touch ID has decided to shit the bed today. Whoa. Here we go. All right. We have 5 questions from listener and friend of the show, Matt Savickle, whom you can hear in podcasts 34 and 39.
Ooh, there you go.
Throwbacks. Yeah. Throwback. It's Thursday, by the way.
We're
usually record on Tuesdays, but it's a Thursday.
This is kind of weird. I'm having a little bit of trouble with it. I'm psychologically not
tomorrow
there.
Being a Friday is going to be weird. So it's Throwback Thursday. Here we go. Question number one.
Question number one. What's a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
Is that a trick question?
Yes.
As a bit of an AV nerd, I have to ask why anyone would want to watch a movie not in its original aspect ratio, sped up for time compression, and with commercials.
Duh.
But if I had to answer, I'd go with 80s teen comedies like Fast Times, The Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller, The Legend of Billie Jean, etc.
It's like not one movie.
They're fun to watch for their quotability and nostalgia value, but not consequential enough to care about the technical presentation of what I'm watching.
So yeah, it can't be like a superhero movie. All right, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
My geekiest prized possessions are probably the functional crow and servo replica props from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh yeah.
I need a sidebar interject as Molly. Holy shit. All right. Back to Matt. I've always loved the local flavor of that show, and seeing the bots always cheers me up. I got them on eBay, highest quality authentic parts, and the seller, a guy out of Michigan, is still out there making them.
Mm. Question 3. Which supernatural, magical, or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
Vampires would be cool, especially the Anne Rice or Charlene Harris versions, not so much the sparkly ones. Living life with a dangerous undercurrent of knowing humans were no longer the top of the food chain would be exciting and terrifying. And there would be also be the temptation and enticement of a longer eternal life, but at the price of your humanity. Just like Abrahamic religion's promise. Heyo!
Mic drop.
Yes, that was all written in there.
Oh, yeah. Is it me? Oh, question four. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem that now faces humanity?
Climate change.
Boom.
Reversing its damage in the other direction would take hundreds of years of concentrated, cooperative effort across multiple countries. And just because religion goes away doesn't mean all woo would.
Yeah.
Basic skeptical critical thinking needs to be taught in elementary school.
Hmm.
That's a good answer.
Solid answer. Mm-hmm. And question number five is, what is your favorite quote?
I have two quotes. My geeky quote. Partially quoted in the 1971 movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yay.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of the dream. Wandering by lone sea breakers and sitting by desolate streams. World losers and world forsaken, for whom the pale moon gleams. Yet we are the movers and the shakers of the world forever, it seems. Arthur O'Shaughnessy. My favorite free thought quote. Men prefer to believe that they are degenerated angels rather than elevated apes. William Winwood Reed.
I like that.
Thanks, Matt.
Those are both great.
Those are great.
Yeah.
If
once
you
again,
have
what episodes was he on again?
He was on episodes 34 and 39.
Wow, we
which
got him
would
on
have been
twice.
Way back in 2012.
We got him on twice in a month.
We did.
And then we're just like, fuck, Matt. We're never gonna.
I'm
Matt. We got to get you back. Maybe
yeah.
Someday.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Have a reason. that wasn't meant to be like a dick thing. I'm just saying, like, do it.
Yeah.
All right. So, if you want to send in your answers to our five questions, you can send them to fivequestions@geekswithoutgod.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And hey, have you thought about supporting our Patreon lately?
I know I have.
Oh, have you? And did you do it?
Yes.
Yay!
I'm going to say yes.
You should just, you know what? You support our Patreon, Tim, by being here as a host.
That's right.
Other people, they can support our Patreon by donating any amount from $1 on up. As a monthly thing, and Patreon supporters get all kinds of cool perks, one of which is you get episodes early, or in the case of when we had a microphone cable problem, you get robot vomit episodes where things sound crazy. And
but you can listen, and you can be
you
like,
can.
Yeah, if you want to, as a Patreon supporter, you could download that, fix it, and then give it to us so we can actually upload it.
You absolutely can.
Yeah, we put that up for all supporters.
We'd like to thank Michelle Moreland, who pledged an amount back in September during Fest. And Michelle, we're sorry it took us so long to get to you, but, you know, Fest.
We don't have our cell phones on us when we record a lot of times out there, and so it's hard for us to look up our email and find out.
You might not know Fest, but the point is that's what...
If she listens enough to want to support us on Patreon, I'm guessing she's heard us talk about Fest. But so, yeah, you could be like Michelle and donate to Patreon and get your name said out loud for just $2 a month. On top of that, we also have other Hangout and other things that you can get at certain levels. Once we get there, we're going to get new equipment and other things. Anyway, you know, I'm going to ramble a bit more about how awesome we are. We're pretty awesome, guys.
We are super awesome.
And people like what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. Hey, we're thinking about doing new buttons and stickers. If you think that'd be a good idea, drop us a line on Facebook. We'd like to hear if people are interested in getting something new from us. A lot of you have what we had currently, but it's been, you know, almost 5 years since we started this podcast, and we're thinking maybe we'd make something new.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. We will see you guys on the next flip side. The times.
Flippity floppity.
Flippity floppity.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Christmas. Bye.
Bye.
That's a pretty nice boner, Tim.
Gross.
Huh? Let me touch it.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Bang those boners hard.